2 Corinthians chapter 4, as we continue on in our study here and in this epistle. We went through the first epistle to the church at Corinth. You saw those things that the Apostle Paul is looking to help the church with. There's a contingent there that desires his help and desires his teaching and his input into their situation. But certainly there seems to be a contingent there also in that church that doesn't want to hear from the apostle. They don't believe that he is of a place and a position to minister to them yet. The years that have passed since he was originally there and used by the Lord, he's in pleading them in that case and looking to convince them and persuade them that he is the minister of the Lord. He is an apostle of the Lord, bearing the word of God. You and I know after the fact how it is that even these two very epistles are the Word of God. They're included in the canon of Scripture that we have today. And so the message of the Apostle Paul by the inspiration of the Lord and His Spirit to the church at Corinth was indeed what they needed. And so what we need to do is learn from this, understand the things that are there, avoid the things that this church had gotten into that they shouldn't, and following the things that are good and right laid out for us by the Lord for His honor and His glory's sake. He left off in the last chapter about talking about how we're changed. And Brother Stephen in his Sunday school lesson this morning mentioned about the man that talked about, you know, if you look at self, make sure you look at the Lord 10 times over. And that's our focus. We need to introspect indeed, but we need to look at our Lord and keep our eyes fixed upon the mark and the prize that's set before us and the calling of our Lord that he has bestowed upon us. It is a great calling indeed. In this chapter 3, previously, that we looked at last time, Sunday before last, the ministry is talked about. And it's right along with what we're taking a look at on Sunday mornings about service. We're used of the Lord. Our Lord was used up for our sakes, if you will. And the ministers of the Lord, faithful in the Scriptures, they're used up for the work of the Lord. It is a wonderful and a blessed and good thing to be used up of the Lord for His work. It's an eternal thing. The things of this world will not last. And so this boldness, this confidence that we have, this plainness of speech that we have, we need to be a witness of Christ. We need to follow those things that are good and right, and be children walking in obedience, ministering the truth unto others. And as he said regarding the Jews in that chapter, that the veil would be pulled away. And some more things are going to be said about an obstruction of the eyes, okay, to those that are in the world. In chapter 3, it was about the veil over the eyes of Israel. And the witness of the Lord is going out to them, has gone out to them, is going out to them, will go out to them, and the Lord will save. So in chapter 4 in 2 Corinthians, it starts off like this. Therefore, because of that, seeing we have this ministry. He doesn't say that I have this ministry, but we have this ministry. Every member of the church is important. Every member has been placed by the Lord, and we have a part in the ministry of the Lord, the great commission that has been given unto us, the personal responsibility and privilege that we have to live for the Lord and be a witness of the Lord. He says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Lot said right there in those verses. We've got this ministry of our Lord. It's been described to us in chapters before and the chapter just preceding. We've received mercy indeed. Our Lord has been good to us and is using it in this way. We don't need to faint. Fainting is something that is a subject that's in this chapter. It's mentioned also in verse number 16. The brother mentions this because we are tempted to quit. We are tempted to faint. But we don't need to yield to that temptation. but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. We need to be a testament always to the truth, to the Lord's word, with the Lord's word, not walking in craftiness, not trickery or foolishness of this world, nor handling of the word of God deceitfully. It's a ministry of truth. Blessed is the man whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord will not impute iniquity. Blessed is the man, goes on to say, in whose spirit there is no guile, no deception. It's not about a deceptive thing. We're not faking one another out. We're not faking out the world. It's not by trickery, but by truth. The truth. And that's what the apostle is coming them at with, is the truth. But my manifestation, a showing forth of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We have been touched and we have been changed. We have been saved. And we were just like you, we say to the sinner. And we desire this for you too. We pray that you see a touch and a change in us. It's truthful. That's the Lord's working. What is our witness? Verse number 3. So there's the working of the Lord, the using of the Lord of His children to carry forth the Word of God and the message of the Lord, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the truth of God and what He commands unto mankind, the accountability that mankind has before the world, all the things before the Lord, all the things that we're to be a witness of, the truth. But if our gospel, if our good news that we possess and we've been saved by be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Brother Stephen brought out in his Sunday school lesson, and it's been a blessing. So thankful for the way the Lord blessed him and filled him with that. It was a wonderful thing. It's been recorded, and I encourage you to listen to that again. It'll be a blessing to you. One of the things that we know, indeed, is that the love that we have for the brethren and the hearing of God's word from the brethren, and the brethren, brothers and sisters, agree on God's word. And it's there might be peripheral things that we might disagree about. I might be wrong. You might be wrong. We both might be wrong. Okay, but on the foundation, we agree. When one would declare the truth, the other would say, "Amen. Yes, that's the truth." We stand in that. We're thankful for that. We rejoice in that. But if our gospel, the gospel, the word of God, the good news that we preach, be hid. Listen, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. In the previous chapter, he talked about this veil that was over the eyes of the Israelites, over the eyes of the Jews. He said it remains even today, in his day, and we know it remains even to our day. When Moses is read, they just don't get it. But there are some of them that are getting it, and there will be more that will see it. And when they see the glory of our Lord, indeed the nation, a remnant, will be saved. But listen, if folks don't believe it, if they don't hear it, there is an element at hand that the God of this world have blinded the minds of them that would believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. It's our Lord that has the power to burn through the darkness with His truth, doesn't He? But there is that general sense in which the gospel of the Lord goes out. In our nation, it is so true that the gospel of the Lord Jesus freely goes out. And it is there. And the command of the Lord is apparent and evident. And the working of Christ to bring salvation to sinners is obvious and apparent and shown forth in its truth and its power. But the God of this world, He loves nothing more than to blind sinners to that. And so as I mentioned this morning, God is not to be blamed. The Lord is not to be blamed ever at all. But Satan is at work, blinding minds. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. They do not believe. That's the reason we implore sinners to believe. Believe! And there's relevance to that here coming up. For we preach not ourselves. Beware of a man that preaches himself. Beware of a man that preaches a man-based system. For we preach not ourselves, but we preach rather Christ Jesus the Lord. Christ, He's the Savior. Jesus, His earthly name. He became a man. He is the Son of God. And the Lord, He is the Lord, the Master, the King, the Ruler. And ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. What are we doing? We're packing the message, right? To use the vernacular, we're carrying the message. We're the laborers carrying the message from the Lord to those that are in need of the message. That's what we are. He's described that to him in the previous epistle, didn't he? He said, Paul's nothing and Apollos is nothing. Cephas is nothing but ministers. He said, compared to the Lord, we're nothing. But we're vessels. We're used of the Lord to carry that word. So how are we doing? How are we doing carrying the message? May the Lord help us that we be about carrying the message. Amen? Carrying the message to others. Carrying the gospel to others. And not just know to do it, but to do it. To do it in every way and to everyone that we can. We don't preach ourselves, but we preach the Lord. And us, we're the servants for Jesus' sake. For Jesus' sake. He's the one that's got the plan. He's the one that's established the church. He's the one that saved sinners and put them in His church. And He's the one that gave His church a commission to fulfill. It's for Jesus' sake. That's who we were. That's who the boss is. Amen? It's the Lord Jesus. We're His servants. Not sin, but the Lord Jesus. It goes on to say, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. See, there's the capability of the Lord. He's able to shine in hearts. He's able to shine through the darkness. But they must hear the gospel. They must hear the word for the Lord to have something to work with. Brother Jim, are you limiting the Lord in any way? Listen, the Lord is not limited. The Lord is limited only to the plan that He's chosen to use. And that's ordained by Him. And so, we are just to work in that scope. The master, the goodman, the householder, he's determined the way for it to be. May we do our part. He says, He shines the light. It's shined in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. All in Jesus. Light. Light of the knowledge. Light of the knowledge of the glory of God, His righteousness, our sinfulness, everything that the sinner needs to know and to see about his desperate situation, his need of Christ as Savior, the glory of God, that God would even care to love a despicable sinner like you and me. It's glorious. It's gracious. It's wonderful indeed in the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the front. Jesus is at the forefront of the Lord. He is the mediator between God and man. He's the one that we tell. He's the one that is there. If you're here and you're not saved, you need Jesus. And you must deal with Jesus. We pray that you would. We pray that you would. Verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. You know, we have the key of life, don't we? Within us. Well, we don't perform it, but we've experienced it and we do experience it and we carry it, don't we? We're an example of it. We're to be a shining forth of it. This treasure and an old clay pot and an earthen vessel. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It's like, oh, what a wonderful thing could live and be inside of such an earthen vessel. Yeah, that's the blessing. That's the wonder of it. And so as we go, as we considered earlier in the book, what's our savor? Well, what is the savor that we put forth? Do those around us, do we represent our Lord to the point of where they would desire what we have? That they would see that it's not of us, but it's of our Lord? We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power, the greatness of the power, the wonder of the power may be of God and not of us. The Lord has touched us and worked on us. And then the brother, he talks about his experience as an apostle. And this is very much connected to an appeal that he made in 1 Corinthians 4. I encourage you to read that again. We'll not take time to do that this time. We've done it in time past. About what he declared that he and the brethren with him, other apostles, have endured what he endured. Why? To reach the Lord's. To reach the lost sheep. To reach the sinners in need of salvation. To reach the elect. He said, why would I go through this if I was not called and convinced and know that this is the working of God? We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down indeed, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Had to take a lot of things physically for the sake of the Lord's calling upon him. But what was it for? For the honor and glory of his Lord, for the obedience to his Lord, and to the reaching of sinners. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. We've heard it about missionaries. I mean, I tell you what, we said it recently. It's been said. How can someone take their young family to a land on the other side of the world to preach Christ unto a people that can't even understand what he's talking about unless he learns their language? It's conviction. It's the working of the Lord. It'll be a wonder to those people why the missionary would come there to do such a thing. But he'll declare unto them, it's because of the love of God towards me, the calling of the Lord unto me, and the love of God towards you in bringing this word to you. And what they do is say, wow, what a missionary. No, the goal is they say, wow, what a God. The God. Amen. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Yeah, physically, and the troubles that the flesh experiences, and the things pressed and measure and beyond measure, that the life of Jesus might be manifest in our body. The life, the eternal life, and the hope that is had only in the Lord. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. And why not? Jesus died in the flesh, didn't he? I mean, we're buried with him in baptism. He suffered without the gate. So will we. Bearing his reproach, we're told. You know, it's not and you've heard me refer to it this way, the truth that the Lord gives and tells the disciples before his crucifixion. He tells them about what they'll experience as apostles, as disciples, as his church after his resurrection. He tells them those things and everything. You know, it's not much of a recruitment pitch. But I tell you what, it's not about recruiting. It's about saving and calling and using an eternal glory unto the Lord. It's what he's been. So the best thing, as we saw this morning, the best thing for this body is to indeed to die. And what better way than for it to be used up for the sake of the Lord? There's nothing better. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Why? That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. How can they do that? Why would they do that? Because of love for the Lord, His salvation and calling. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. There it is. It's another way of saying, save your life for yourself, you will lose it. But use your life up for the Lord Jesus' sake and for the gospel's sake, you will gain it. You will gain it. You and I will gain it. Verse 12, so then death worketh in us, but life in you. He said, we're being used up, but look what it's brought to you. Look what it's brought to you. It's the working of the Lord. We having the same spirit of faith, you and I, you there at Corinth and myself, the apostle speaks, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. I'll tell you what, it'll be a whole message about this, and I want us to just take a look quickly over here in Psalm 116. He says, as it is written. And if you're here and not saved, I want you to listen to the words of this psalm and the words of the psalmist. And everyone, we who are saved, let us listen to the words of the psalmist. Quickly here in Psalm 116. Listen. I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because He hath inclined His ear unto me. That means He leaned over and He got directed to hear. Therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me. They were all around. And the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, I beg Thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and He helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed. Therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I believed, and I have spoken. That's what the apostle refers to. Truth of the greatness and the mercifulness and the salvation, the Savior that the Lord is, has become apparent and evident by the Lord's Word. And he called out to Him, Lord, help me. Lord, deliver me. Lord, save me. You know what? He did. He did. He did. I believed. That's what the sinner needs to come to. From the standpoint on this side of things, the sinner needs to come to believe that the Lord can. That the Lord is desirous to. That the Lord is able to. I have believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. He said, and the Lord heard my cry. The Lord hath inclined His ear unto me. I'll call upon Him as long as I live. I was all surrounded. Verse 4, then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech, I beg Thee, deliver my soul. Brother Brothers and sisters, that's what we're to represent to a lost and dying world, that there is hope in the Lord and the Savior. That there is one that can deliver out of anything and everything in this troubled, sin-sick world. Even rescuing a soul from eternal death. So, we come back to 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 13. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore we speak. We've been saved. We're on the rescue. The psalmist was telling about being on the needing a salvation side. And now the apostle's saying, now we're on the salvation side and we need to speak forward the truth of what the Lord can do. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. That entrance that Brother Peter talks about into glory, the crown of glory that Brother Paul says that they that which have believed there at Corinth are to him a crown of glory. The Lord used a sinner that he saved to be a minister of his word and his truth and his salvation to others, just to be part of the working and the plan of God. There's nothing greater. There'll not be other things that'll be rejoiced about over there when with our Lord, but only those things that have to do with the kingdom and the rescue of the Lord's children and people and that. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present you us with you. For all things are for your sakes. Everything that I've gone through, it's for you. That the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for sending the minister. Thank you, Father, for sending your Savior, the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, for sending your word. Thank you for using others to reach us. I tell you what, on the south, you know, it is a blessing, and we do see that. When we're saved and the Lord saves us and we see about what the Lord's done, how he's worked through our lives to bring folks to us and those that cared for us and those that prayed for us and those that witnessed to us of the gospel of Christ. But can you imagine being in a foreign land, worshiping heathen gods and had no clue about anything else under the sun or above the sun or in the universe at all? And then here comes this missionary into your town, your village, your little crossroads, and is able by the power of God to preach to you the gospel, and your soul is saved. I tell you what, that minister is going to be special to you, and the working of the Lord is going to be special to you. And the thing is when one sees that and experiences that, I tell you what, it's going to be a humbling about how the Lord used others to reach down and visit and touch me. All things are for your sakes. You know, yes, even things that our brother learned over at Ephesus, over there in Galatia and Achaia and the places where he ministered, the things that he learned down in Judea. It all was the working of the Lord to teach him the things that he needed to minister to those in Corinth. He said, it's all been for you. That's the Lord equips his people and his ministers for the next work at hand. You know, it's good for us to look at our experiences, especially the experiences that we say that are hard. They're hard on the flesh, hard on our hearts and our minds. They're grievous to us and troubling to us in the flesh. The thing is, what we need to know is that the Lord's getting us ready for the next thing. He's getting us ready to be able to meet someone and reach someone and touch someone, to be able to sympathize with somebody that maybe we can only empathize with now. It says, all things are for your sake. It's all for you. That the abundant grace, the graciousness of God might through the thanksgiving of many, their own thanksgiving, redound unto the glory of God. For which cause, we faint not. We've got to keep on going. But though our outward man perish, Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. My flesh, my body is being used up, but the Spirit of God within is alive and well. Verse 17, future vision, big picture, bright perspective that God has for our light affliction. Can you really say that? Our light affliction? This man had been left for dead. He'd been imprisoned. He'd been beat up. He's going to go to prison for the sake of the Lord. Light affliction? That's what he says. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more excellent and eternal weight of glory. Rewards, brothers and sisters, faithfulness, being willing to give and to be used up for the sake of the Lord. On that side, it will have been as just a moment compared to the glory and the blessings that we will experience, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more excellent and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, that's what we need to do, is not look on circumstances or the present situation, but at the things which are not seen, because the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Like your soul, like the souls of people that we preach to and witness to, like the working of the Spirit of God within them to reach them and save them. Conviction from the Lord to a changed life, taking them and us from wickedness and sin and self-centeredness to a walk with the Lord and a witness to others. Those are the things that are eternal, not the things that can be seen. And we have blessings of things that can be seen, don't we? But the eternal things, the spiritual things, the soul relative things are the things that we need to be interested in. In verse number 16 of the coming chapter, the brother says, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more." He is not interested in the physical situation of people. Not that he doesn't care. Not that he wouldn't supplicate and pray for infirmity and such as that. But the most important thing is that of the soul. The eternal well-being of the soul and of the person. That is his interest. That is the things are the things that we need to have in mind. Next time in chapter 5, he's going to go and talk about our earthly tabernacle being dissolved and how we have a one not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And so may the Lord help us as we walk this week with our Lord, that we keep these things in mind. We ask the Lord to speak to us about them, and that we be dedicated to Him and His work and His service in our day-to-day lives. You got somebody in your life that's not saved and never heard about the Lord, never heard about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, or maybe they have, and they just need to be told again. May the Lord help us that we would be a good witness of good things in Christ unto them. If you're here and you're not saved, we point you to our Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing more that needs to be done for a sinner like you to be saved. You need to see your need. You need to repent before God. You need to believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe these things and call out to Him for mercy. He's near. There's coming a time He won't be near, but now He's near. Today is the day of salvation. Indeed, now is the accepted time.